Morning, everyone. I use that term loosely this morning, everyone. Everyone is here. How about that? I know there's a lot of people that are sick and that had the flu in our midst, not only those who traveled to Burnaby, but there's quite a few other people that are sick at this point, and we need to remember them also. As I was thinking about the message the last couple weeks, I was thinking that I thought back to about a month ago when I was up here when we had the baptismal service for Eric and Beth. And I used as my text that morning Matthew chapter 3, and I know what comes next in chapter 4. And we ended on a real positive note that morning because Jesus was baptized. He came to John to be baptized into Jordan, and the heavens were opened, and the voice of God came down, and the Spirit came down in the form of a dove and lighted on Jesus. And it seems that it's kind of interesting that what happened next, that Jesus went in the wilderness to be tempted. After all that victory and after the God showing his goodwill toward his son and to those around who were able to hear that. I'm going to entitle the message this morning, Overcoming Temptation, Jesus' Formula for Victory. And I'm not going to read Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to read Luke chapter 4, and there's a reason for that, and I'll tell you that later, why I chose this text instead of the Matthew text. It's something in it that really struck me as I looked at it and as I thought about it. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship me before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem to set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." In verse 13, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." And I also want to turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, a verse that has been precious to me in my walk with Christ. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Temptation. You know, I was thinking about that word, and I have a definition here I'd like to read before I go any further. "To entice or attempt to entice someone to do or acquire something that they find attractive. But know to be wrong or not beneficial. To attract or allure. Usually has undesirable consequences. Yielding to temptation usually has undesirable consequences. Now, I want to stand up here this morning that the temptations that I have probably are different than the ones you have. Because we all have different things in our lives that sometimes we focus on or put too much focus on. Now, about two months ago now, we were down, almost 6 weeks ago, we were down in Arizona. And my son-in-law knows that I'm a car guy. And that tempts me sometimes. And so he took me to the Barrett Jackson auto auction down in Scottsdale. Well, that's probably the worst place for me to be because, you know, I was reminiscing back in the old days and thinking about, you know, how neat it would be if I would be able to afford to buy one of those cars. And that was a temptation for me. That's a temptation for me. For you, it's something different. We're not all the same. And so as I thought about this, as we walk our walk of faith, we all have something in our life that we struggle with only because Satan is aware of that, and he knows what your weakness is. So we don't normally, or we don't take enough time usually to consider what the consequences might be. And as I was thinking about that, I look back in the Old Testament into Joshua and was thinking about that incident where the Israelites were defeated by Ai. They felt that they were just a small country. They didn't need the whole army to go. Just send a couple thousand, the spies said, and we can take care of them. What they didn't know was there was some sin in the camp. And in the previous battle, they were told to leave all the things there. Don't pilfer all those things that are left. Leave them there. Don't take them home to you. Don't bring them into your camp. And there was a man named Achan who struggled with the temptation when he saw these things that were left there. So he basically took them home. So in Joshua 7:21, it says, "When I saw among the spoils of a beautiful Babylonian garment 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them. And there they are hidden in the midst of my tent with silver under it." So he saw all these things, he coveted them, and he took them home. But there was a consequence to that. If you read the whole chapter of 7, there were 36 men died in the battle, and they lost the battle. They had to turn tail and run. The other thing that happened, once this sin became known, he lost his sons, his daughter, his animals, everything he had. They were taken out and stoned, and then fire came down and burned them. Now, hopefully in our lives, when we face temptation and we succumb, that we don't have that dire of a consequence. But we will have a consequence. There are going to be consequences that come along with that. So as we look at this chapter here and realize that this was really important for us to know that Jesus was willing to do that. God wanted him to do that. The Spirit took him to the wilderness for the express purpose of being tempted. Now, you and I don't get up in the morning thinking, "Oh boy, I wonder what the temptation's going to be today." We don't have that mindset. But unfortunately, the temptation will come in some form or another. One of the reasons why I read the text here in Luke was because what it says in verse 13. So we know as we read the text that Jesus had victory, and we also know that Satan knew the things that a human being, and Jesus had taken on human flesh, Satan knows the things that we struggle with and that he can get an inroad into our life. And so verse 13 was very, as I meditated on this chapter and I thought about verse 13, it says, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until a more opportune time." So it wasn't over. It wasn't over for Jesus either. It's not over for us. When we have victory in our lives and we overcome something, some temptation or some trial, it's not over, because Satan is going to look for an opportune time to come. The reason why Satan was on the earth is he couldn't take not being in charge in heaven. So he was on the earth, and his desire is to get us all to fall into sin and to turn our backs on God. And here, when Jesus went into the wilderness for the express purpose of being tempted, and it would be interesting if we could read or if we could see all of the things that he faced before we come to the three things that are in the text today. But for 40 days, he was there and he was being tempted. So I think that Jesus did that so you and I know that it's possible. It's possible that we too can overcome. So one of the questions I asked myself was, Jesus was God's son. Why did he have to endure temptation? Think about that. He had just had the Spirit descend on him. He had heard the voice of his Father. And now he goes to be tempted. And we know that this took place in between the time he was baptized and the time that he was beginning his ministry. So there had to be something to it. It had to be something that happened during that time where Jesus had to learn more and more as he was going to walk in flesh to depend on his Father. He learned that he did this. He went through this for us to identify himself with humanity. And in Hebrews 4:15 it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." He also did it to succeed where Adam failed. Think about that. Adam and Eve failed. They had one law to keep, one rule. That's all they had to keep. They were in a utopia place, and they failed to keep that. So by bringing victory over sin to those who believe on him, he shows us that he can succeed where Adam failed. Romans 5:18 says, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." My Sunday school teacher, when I was a teenager, used to say justification meant to be justified just as if I'd never sinned. I'll never forget that. That's one of the first things I learned in Sunday school when I was a young man, that I could be justified, I could be just if I'd never sinned because of the shed blood of Jesus. This scripture is here for us, and also was Jesus going through that to show us how to overcome temptation, how to overcome temptation. What do we know about this text? As we read this, what do we know? We know that Jesus was hungry. We know that for 40 days and he didn't eat. We know that the devil was trying to work on his pride. We do know that. And we know that the devil also challenged his divinity. And Jesus needed to get used to that, because the disciples, as he went out with his disciples teaching, the religious leaders of the day continually challenged his divinity, that he was God's son. So we know that these three things about this text as we think about it. He faced three possible temptations. He did not use his supernatural power to push Satan away. Instead, he gave us a formula for what we need to do in our lives. He didn't use his supernatural power. He could have. He could have zapped Satan right there. That wasn't in God's plan. He came to overcome sin, to live a life, a sinless life, not to zap Satan. He came to have victory over Satan, and he was able to do that through what he faced in his life. So, the three things, and I'm probably going to use this verse again, but the three things that he was able to overcome was, it's written in John, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the three things that Satan will use in our lives too. So the first thing that Jesus did or shows us in overcoming temptation is in verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The power of the Holy Spirit was evident in his life. He was accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit. We also need the Spirit to survive in our wilderness, wherever that is. We are foolish if we think we can stand up to Satan's power alone. And as I think about that, I think about that verse in Ephesians 6, verse 12, that says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's not some normal thing. That sometimes it's an unseen thing that we're dealing with in our life. You know, it would be easier for me to succumb to the temptation of Barrett Jackson auction because I can see that. I can see that, and I also know what that would entail to work that out so I could succumb to that temptation. But the things that we're not seeing, the principalities, the powers, it's not against flesh and blood. That's what Paul wrote in Ephesians when he was talking about the armor of God and how we needed to put that on if we're going to make a difference in our world. I read somewhere as I was thinking about this that facing temptation alone can be like walking down an inner city street in Chicago or New York alone at night. The other thing, as I think about the Holy Spirit causes the devil to tremble. The Holy Spirit causes the devil to tremble. And as we deal with temptation in our life, and the devil knows that we have the Spirit, it causes him to tremble. He's still going to try. He's not going to go away. When I was working with my dad years ago, there was an old man. He used to come in his shop, and there was nothing about him that was spiritual. But he would, when he got up to leave, he'd always say, I'm going to do something now the devil's never going to do. I'm going to leave. And I don't know what his relationship was, but I know his life did not exhibit the fact that he was following Christ. But he understood that the devil will never leave. And verse 13 brings that out. He departed from him until an opportune time. What else did Jesus show us that we need? God's word. Verses 4, 8, and 12. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And in verse 12, and Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. When facing temptation, Jesus used the word of God. He didn't try to argue or reason with the devil. He didn't try to impress Satan with a display of power. He didn't try to shout the devil down. He remained calm. We need to know God's word to be able to overcome Satan. Even when Jesus quoted scripture, Satan kept coming back. He's relentless. He's relentless. It's like standing on the seashore and watching the waves come in hour after hour after hour. They're relentless. They don't stop. And the flip side is Satan could also quote scripture back to Jesus. So just quoting scripture will not make Satan go away. Because Satan knows also what the Bible says. And he will use it and he will twist it and he will do everything he can in his power to get us to succumb to the temptation, whatever it is in your life. So he went in the spirit. He knew the word. And the third thing, he was committed to obeying God's word. Now, I don't know how these temptations affected Jesus. I've often thought, now, why would Jesus worry about what Satan was saying when he was the creator of the universe? Did it really impact him? I don't understand, and I don't know the human side that Jesus was able to feel. I see him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I know he came in flesh. And I guess it's hard for me in my mind, and maybe it's hard in our minds, to separate the fact that he was fully human and fully God. So for me to think about how these things must have bothered him, knowing he was the creator of the universe, I don't understand. But I do know that it's in Scripture here for us to encourage us, because we're going to face the same adversary all of our lives while we have breath. And you know, you think about the fact that, you know, when you see an older person who's walked in the Lord for a long time, for many years, and you think, well, they don't have any more struggles. They've had all the victory. They've seen it all in their life. But I can tell you, as I get older, Satan does not go away. He does not go away. It would be a crowning glory in his crown or in his cap if he can get someone who's walked with him for years and years to turn their back on their faith. That's his plan. That's his modus operandi. That's what he's trying to do to us in our lives. And we need to understand that and be aware of it. So he was committed to obeying God's word. In verse 8 again, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus quoted scripture, but he was also letting Satan know he was committed to obeying it by having victory. Knowing the word but not living by it is a recipe for failure. The psalmist David, in the 119th Psalm, said he hid the word in his heart. 119, 9 through 11 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The psalmist David was committed to obeying the word. Now, was he perfect? No, we know he wasn't. We know that he had sin in his life. We know that he knew what to do when he would come face to face with his sin. He was willing to forget, to repent, and to put himself in God's mercy. And it must have worked because you can read in Acts that the Bible says about David that he was a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Because he had hidden the word in his heart. It's not the hearers of the word, but the doers that will have the victory over temptation and sin. James 4, 7 through 8 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Resist. Resist. Sometimes Satan makes it really attractive not to resist. And that's why we need the foundation of the Holy Spirit and the Word in our life. And being totally committed to what it says. And to believe what it says. I was thinking about the fact that what it says in verse 13, a more opportune time, an opportune time. Satan is looking for that in your life. I don't know when it's going to come. I don't know what it's going to be, but he's looking for an opportunity in your life. When you let your guard down, when you put yourself in a place where you shouldn't be, when you're watching something or looking at something you shouldn't look at, those are the times that Satan will come when you've let your guard down. Jesus was tempted three times that are recorded here in three different ways. Now, we don't know what happened all the other 40 days, but I'm sure that as I'm standing here this morning that Satan was relentless. And again, I'm going to read 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Adam and Eve were tempted with the same three areas in their life. And so are we. All temptations fall into these three categories: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. While we are in this wilderness, our lives, we will face temptation, but we can overcome if we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay full of the Word of God and remain committed to what it says. That's the formula. That's what we need to do. Why do we try to do it on our own? Why do we think we're strong enough to do it on our own? Because we're not. We're not. And we can see that through Scripture. We have this account of Achan. We have the account of Demas who forsook the Apostle Paul. We have the account of Judas who walked with Jesus for 3 years and then turned his back on him for 30 pieces of silver that he threw into the ground and hung himself. Because he knew that he had succumbed to Satan in his life. Temptation is serious business. And Jesus gave us the tools we need. And I'd like to read a few verses in James as I close this morning. And hopefully we're encouraged to appreciate the fact that Jesus knows what we're going through. He went through it himself so we would know that he would know what we're going through. And in James 1, in the first in the first chapter, in verse 12, it says, Blessed be the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. I'm thankful that God's word has this account. I'm thankful that Jesus can show us through these accounts what we need to do when Satan comes. I'm also thankful that it warns us, it warns me, that even though Jesus had all this victory, Satan was able to say, he departed from him until an opportune time. My prayer is that as I think about this and you think about this, we will realize how serious it is and how Satan's sole desire is to get you and me to fall into sin and dishonor our Father and our Lord Jesus. May God bless his word.